we see it quite a lot with FirmCheck people that come to us and say, oh, I use such and such a tool to monitor my clients. And, you know, monitoring is what the body asked me to do. And yes, they do, but they don't mean monitor CCGA or permanently monitor if they've missed a direct debit or anything like that. What it means is, like, are you monitoring the daily bank transactions? Are you seeing what's coming in? And then quickly, if you have any worries, noting that in place. But if you say the word monitoring, you go, oh yeah, we monitor, we've got a system that flags if Kevin's suddenly bankrupt. That's not monitoring. But the language doesn't help, because other software providers have put that all they want is monitoring. And actually they don't. They just want, do you have a process in place? Can you quickly get things? And is it easy to use?
You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community of forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hi, and welcome to Bookkeepers Bootcamp. I'm Sarah Whitman. I'm here with Joe Wood, and we're joined by Kevin Woods from FirmCheck. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted to finally put some product on my hair and put a clean shirt on, make an effort for you guys. So any excuse to make myself presentable. So thank you very much. My wife really even said that. My wife's like, what, are you working today? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why, you got a shirt on? So, oh, thank you. Absolute pleasure.
How are you doing? What are you up to at the moment? Tell people that haven't met you before, can you give us a bit of a background about you and, yeah, what you're up to at the moment?
Background, wow. So a few people will probably know me from Free Agent. I worked at Free Agent for nearly nine years. Started off at, you know, when we were tiny, about 25 of us, 30 of us in the office, and just a wonderful eight, nine years there. You know, I went fully expecting to be sacked within 6 months, totally blagged, and you'll see this today, guys. I've got a degree in blagging. I blagged my way into the job. I think they'll catch me out here. They'll sack me. 9 years later, a dog, two children, two houses later, I was still there. So I thoroughly enjoyed my time there, building up the accountant and bookkeepers channel. So, you know, I got to meet you guys and build really strong relationships with the bookkeeping community. And I'm now at a company called FirmCheck, and FirmCheck is AML software. The founder of FirmCheck is a guy called Hamish Edwards, and Hamish is the original founder of Xero. So Hamish and Rod founded Xero together. Hamish is an extremely successful businessman, and he's a chartered accountant himself, and disappeared out the marketplace for a while, got out of software, and came back with FirmCheck in the UK because he was just massively annoyed at the AML burden, if you like. And the team behind FirmCheck are a lot of the original product managers from Xero back in the day. So it was a nice fit for me sort of culturally, you know, behind the scenes, huge. I don't know if you've read Daniel Pink's Drive, the book about motivation, but the three pillars of motivation is autonomy, so, you know, freedom to do your job well, being aligned on a common purpose, and just personal development. And actually, when you speak to these guys, that was there. It was very much like a free agent culture. So I was just like, let's go and try something new with the same sort of culture. But the guys have got a bit of a success behind them in Xero, I'm sure you'll agree. So it was a bit of a no-brainer to me. And then also this AML nightmare it is for everyone. It was just like, well, can we go in and help the accountants and bookkeepers just do what they do best and not worry about the compliant bit? So thoroughly enjoying it. We've only been live in the UK for 9 months, so we launched at Accountex North, and it's just been a huge success so far. It creates its own problems, of course, but really, really good.
Oh, I love hearing that. Thanks for the background, and I think the AML nightmare, I mean, there's, you know, we've had we've done lots of sessions about AML this week at Bootcamp. Rebecca Williams is one of our ambassadors in the community, and she's come on very, I mean, she's so up on all the, like, the rules. She loves that thing. Like, that's just her thing. She wants to read it all and share it and help everyone. And she just makes it so simple. And I mean, even though she's run 4 sessions this week, there are still questions coming in. And I think that's the thing, you know, you weren't expecting that this was going to be part of running your business when you started your business. So we need to try and make it as straightforward as possible, because it can be a distraction, particularly when you're sort of working, just thinking, oh my gosh, have I got it right? Is there something I haven't thought of? Has something changed that I need to be aware of? So what does FirmCheck actually do? What does the software offer?
So we are a sort of end-to-end AML management solution. What we are finding, we had an AML summit at the end of February, and actually something like 20-30% of the attendees were, thank you very much, Tori, were bookkeepers. And what we try to do, I think you're right, the initial feeling that I get when I speak to anyone, accountant or bookkeeper, is fear. That's the first emotion. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how to do it and why to do it. And then the second one's guilt, in the terms of I'm signing off on something and I shouldn't be. So what we try to do with the AML summit, and what we're trying to do as a strategy, is create that safe space of, like, it is actually quite a simple thing, AML. It's common sense is what it is. Like, really, the basis of everything is just common sense. The difficult bit is, what do I document? What do I need? Where should that live? Who does it? When do I do it? When do I review? And that's what FirmCheck's trying to do, is anyone that does this well, there's no set process to it. It's kind of all over the place. That, yeah, we take ID here and there, or we take ID for new people, but we don't review it. And that lives on Google Drive. Yes, we do risk assessments, and that might live on Excel or pen and paper here and there. I do some of it. I think my staff do some of it. So it's, and then when you're audited, it's that chaos that actually the auditors pick up on. It's not that you're not doing it. It's the, well, something might slip through the net here. Do you need AML? 99.99% of the time, no. But that 0.1, you need to be able to show and prove that you can get what you need and that you've reviewed everything that you do. So that's what we kind of try to do at FirmCheck, that to bring it all under one banner. You can do your ID verification on FirmCheck, and it all lives there. We've got risk assessment templates in place. We've got review processes, workflows, so that nothing really gets missed there. Part of it's your firm-wide risk assessment, of course, and you know, we collect the data for your firm-wide risk assessment. And then, like I say, the education part as well, a large part of the summit was, you need to make sure that your knowledge is as up to date as possible. So we provide free AML training courses and AML summit CPD verified things. I think it's just, so the software is one part of it, but the other part is, can we just be a place that people come and ask for help? Going back to that fear, I think a lot of people are scared. Won't ask their accounting body or their supervisory body to say, hey, I don't know if I'm doing this right for Joe. And then they're fearful that the reaction will be, okay, we're coming to audit you. If you're not sure they're doing it right for Joe, then we're going to come in and we're going to find you. And that problem just amplifies. And I spoke a lot about mental health when I was at Free Agent, you know, software's there to try and release that anxiety a little bit. And I think that's what we're trying to do at FirmCheck. You know, if you're anxious about AML, well, at least it's in one place, and at least you can manage it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that is honestly completely my experience of being in practice and AML. So my AML story was the fact that I started being a bookkeeper and an accountant years ago, before any of this was a thing. And then one day, 2007, I received a brown envelope through the door with a paper VAT return for one of my clients. And there was the VAT notes that came with it. And it said in there, if you're an accountancy service provider, you must register with a governing body or a professional supervisory body for AML. And I was like, but I'm a bookkeeper, so am I an accountancy service provider? I didn't know what that meant. Yeah. And then that's when I, you know, went and found a professional body to be part of. Before that, you didn't have to do that. But that was, it was fear. It was, it's the language. It was the lack of education at that point. And then you had a professional body. And then, yeah, I've had three inspections. Some of them, well, one of them, I was fine. So the first couple were very supportive. And very, you're doing that a bit wrong. We're going to come back in a couple of weeks and help. And you, if you do that right, got it right. And then I was compliant. The last one was completely different. It was horrific. Mental health definitely suffered. It was done at the last week of January when I was already stressed. And I was fined for something that I put in an appeal because I thought it was wrong. And they even said to me, no one would ever money laundry through you because you're so visible. You are doing everything right. You've done this one thing wrong, but here's a 5-figure fine. And so I completely get why I thought I was doing everything to my best of my ability, but I was still doing it wrong. Was I focused on AML 24/7 when I'm trying to build a business, do marketing, branding, build a team, get new clients, onboard clients, get back returns done? No, I'm trying to run a business.
Yep.
So yes, was there room for improvement? Of course. But the fear from the bodies has meant that I think it's, the fear has gone through the roof and it's wrong. So I'm so happy that you're here. And that's why we've made this boot camp about education around it, because I think it would put lots of people off of even joining. And you wonder why we've got a talent shortage.
No, absolutely. And I think you nailed it in the head. You're running your business here, but ultimately it is your name above the door. And whether you like it or accountants like it or not, you're the second most trusted industry out there behind doctors. And listen, you can make a mistake on a VAT return, or you can make a mistake in a spreadsheet. But if you're known as a dodgy accountant, or bookkeeper, it doesn't follow the rules, that's your business gone. And that's got nothing to do with your ability, nothing to do with your clients, your work, anything. That's just your reputation. And that's what people use bookkeepers for. It's that reassurance. And it's that. But going back to the language, I think that's a really interesting point that you raised. We see it quite a lot with firm check people that come to us and say, oh, I use such and such a tool to monitor my clients, and monitoring is what the body asked me to do. And yes, they do, but they don't mean monitor CCG or permanently monitor if they've missed a direct debit or anything like that. What it means is, like, are you monitoring the daily bank transactions? Are you seeing what's coming in, and then quickly, if you have any worries, noting that in place? But if you say the word monitoring, you go, oh yeah, we monitor, we've got a system that flags if Kevin's suddenly, bankrupt. That's not monitoring. But the language doesn't help, because other software providers have put that in place, that all they want is monitoring. And actually they don't. They just want, do you have a process in place? Can you quickly get things? And is it easy to use? So it's interesting. I think a lot of people do this, and they do it to a level that if they are audited, they'll pass. But they have no idea how they've got there. They've no idea if they're going to pass. And it's that anxiety that we're just trying to get rid of, Joe.
Do you think that I guess you speak to a lot of professional bodies.
Yeah.
I
can guess the question that's coming.
Okay, change my mind. Do you think that they are communicating well enough what their expectations are and what you should be doing?
Absolutely not, and absolutely that. I don't want to name a body. I'll put it this way: it's not a bookkeeper's body; it's an accounting body. So when we speak to them about our product and say about their risk assessment templates, they're very coy about. Now we know that they've got templates, for example, that they've got questions that they expect their clients to ask during risk assessment. Now, we've got an area on FirmCheck where we can put risk assessment templates in place so that we make sure that every client, every potential client's asked the same thing. When we ask that body, hey, can we get your templates? They're like, no, we don't share them. We don't share them with anyone. If anything, it's up to that accountant practice to come up with their own risk assessment templates. And you're like, well, hang on a minute. How do they know if it's right or wrong? Or how is it consistent? And actually, there's what, 14, 15, 16 accounting bodies or supervisory bodies in the UK. They'll all ask for something different. So even if you're an ICB member, for example, they'll request something that's totally different from ACCA. And if you're a bookkeeper that's worked in an ACCA practice, and that's how you've been trained and brought up, and then you become an ICB member, the requirements might be totally different. So I don't know. They put a lot of the accountability and onus on their members rather than themselves, but they're quite happy to go in and audit. So I think there is a total breakdown in communication. If I could take it away from AML for a second, HMRC were exactly the same when Making Tax Digital was coming out. And that's why we had great success at Free Agent, for example, running MTD roadshows and MTD boot camps, because actually it fell on the software guys to give that education and give that guidance. So that's why our main strategy again at FirmCheck is deal with education first. Listen, the software takes care of itself. Like, the software is just software. You know, it'll take care of itself. But if we can get that education right first, then people will use the software better and they'll be more relaxed. So no, the communication is poor at best and threatening at worst. And you don't get anyone to follow you if you're threatened.
That's horrible, isn't it? You know, it's like, you know, we're all here. I had a really good chat with Jonathan Gaunt from FD Works. We went to the Zero thing. We were traveling back. I was traveling back with him and had a really good chat. And he said to me something that it was something I needed to hear. He said, you know, we are all in this profession because we want to do good things and we want to do things right and we want to help people. And we're all doing things, I suppose, except for if someone was, you know, they were a dodgy accountant. The people in the room, the people that we know, the people in this community, we're all doing things for good reasons. We're trying to be the best we can be. We're trying to learn. We're at these sessions watching this because we want to be better at what we do. We want to make sure we're doing all the right things. So we're all doing everything with best intention. And I was like, yeah, we are. Like, what we're being so hard on ourselves. But maybe there is something where, like, I hope you're going to say, Kev, I'm going to put this on you. Like, you'll just tell everyone what all the checklists are, all the professional bodies need to answered or filled in. But maybe what we all need to do is write to our professional bodies and say, hey, we all need better information about your expectations here. We're like calling you to action to come and publish, like publish, be really visible about what your expectations are.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if we can throw our weight and voice behind that, even better. So again, I'm not going to name names of any particular bookkeeping body, but I met with a particular bookkeeping body this week and it was just like, we're not threatening you, but ultimately your members are coming to me wanting to use our software and for us to educate them. So actually, certain body, guide us to help guide them. But you know, it's really powerful having someone like Hamish Edwards as your chairman, who's got a bit of clout with the Zero world, to then lean back on if we need to say, well, hang on a minute, you know, this isn't just some tin pot software service that we're providing. This is our direction. And why are 30% of your members coming to us unhappy? Let's fix that, because you're going to lose them as membership. So yes, I think be stronger with your body and be vocal. And I think it's ultimately that fear, like I said, it's scared to ask the body for guidance in case that then means an audit. I think all we're hearing from the accounting bodies is actually, or the supervisory body, sorry, is that they are quite approachable and actually they want to hear. I saw Joe's eyes going up. That might not be your experience though. So they have to get better at listening. But if they're not going to, then tell us, because we're not their members, but we'll happily tell them. And yes, in a dream world, we have the templates for everyone. We know exactly what an ICB auditor is looking for compared to an ACCA auditor, and we give you mock scores or whatever that is, in an ideal world. But I think what's interesting is a lot of them don't want the accountability. They want guidance, but they don't want it to be FirmCheck's risk assessment. They don't want it to be ACCA's risk assessment. They want it to be Zoe Whitman's risk assessment and Joe Wood's risk assessment.
Right.
So it's quite weird. They want you to take ownership of it, but within their guidelines. So again, it's just, and Rebecca probably would have been, I don't, you know, I saw Rebecca was talking to David Winch, with David Winch at Fab, and I spoke to Rebecca before that event. I actually sent her all the questions that we got from bookkeepers at Fab so that she could do it. And I think David comes from it from a very legal point of view. And I think that's quite interesting. So when you speak to David, he's like, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do this. This is what the law says. But actually, when you speak to someone that's from a supervisory body, they don't necessarily follow the law. They're protecting their body rather than following what the law is. So I think the more we can give a safe space for people to express their concerns and express their anxiety and their success stories, don't get me wrong, then the more muscle that we've got to sort of give them the stick back, if that makes sense. But I think, like, all this, like, the communications, like, it should be the carrot at all times. Like, so for me, AML is probably just, it's not knowing your customer, but it's understanding your customer. So, you know, Joe Wood Limited, you know, all of a sudden has started to make £5,000 transfers to Dubai, you know, every month, and she's not been doing that before. Now, if you understand why she's doing that, now you can note that down on an AML concern. But actually, could you just say, hey, Joe, I can get you a foreign currency account that will reduce your charges for that. And actually, you're using AML mindset, but offering services on the back of what you're exploring. It doesn't need to be the carrot. It doesn't need to be the stick. You could just use the AML of understanding your client to actually offer better services or better customer service, whatever that is. But if you treat it with fear, oh my God, where's that form? Where's that? Who's this? Who's what? Like, that's not the way to do it. It's. I used to work in the bank when all this came out as well, and it was very much know your customer. Everyone knows your customer, but do you understand why they're doing certain things? And if you do, not in a suspicious way, hey, can I help them more? Can I offer, like, say, a foreign currency account, or, you know, what? Why are you paying that by this way? Or, you know, who is that? I've got a better supplier than that. And actually, you're still doing your AML checks. That's your monitoring, and that's understand your customer. But then take it a bit further. It's a service offering.
Oh my gosh, I love how you've just flipped this into a massive opportunity. I mean, do you know what? We were talking yesterday about having a gold standard service. There's lots of, you know, marketing psychology is often bronze, silver, gold. But what if we went in and we sold the gold? Because then we're going to sell the best value of, you know, the best level of service that we can provide. And then if people can't pay that, we can remove services rather than hoping one day they'll add something on. So we're kind of working backwards. And we were talking about the frequency of bookkeeping. Karen Kennedy chipped in and said, you know, they're on daily bookkeeping. And we were talking about, like, do you do monthly, weekly? If you were doing your gold standard, what's the best you could deliver? And this is the thing with bookkeepers, right? We are so much closer to the numbers because we are providing a service that does this really regular bookkeeping. So if you've got a massive list of items that you haven't got the paperwork for and it keeps rolling forward for months and months and months, those are the things, like, these are the things that can flag, like, why is that? What, you know, those kind of questions about why can't I find any paperwork for that? What is that thing that keeps coming through that we don't know how to solve? Like, those are the things that get you thinking. But if you're only doing your bookkeeping once a year when you do the self-assessment, you're not going to find that. So we've, you know, we, everything's in our favor anyway for picking up these transactions.
Yeah, and the ICW, this is public, the ICW, they release a report every year on of their AML findings during audits. And their number one finding 5 years on the bounce is the regular review of risk or CDD or stuff like that. But you've got to wonder that, well, no wonder it's that in account safe practices when they don't do the books every day. And actually they do the books, like you say, once a year. If it's a personal tax of a director, they're only seeing them, you know, once a year, or if it's a sole trader. So no wonder they don't review it all the time, because they don't see them all the time, but the bookkeepers do. And, you know, I was thinking about this when I was walking the dog this morning, before I joined FirmCheck. This is completely unrelated, by the way. I was just thinking how at the coalface bookkeepers are, is that I was at Chaser briefly before, Chaser Software before FirmCheck. And I won't go into too much detail, but one of the major problems of Chaser, but Xero as well, and late payment invoices, is that the bookkeeping was done once a month or whatever. So, you know, Chaser is an amazing tool if you do daily bookkeeping. It becomes quite a hard tool if you don't do that, because Chaser will chase things that have perhaps been paid. And then that got me thinking that actually, if anyone's on the beat of what's going on in a business, it's the bookkeeper. And, you know, and that's what I mean, turning this into an opportunity. Like, every bookkeeper is doing this on a daily basis, probably, if not once every couple of days. Then actually they're doing AML. They're doing more than anyone else in the industry, because they're looking at the transactions daily. They're spotting things that might not be clear. Hopefully in FirmCheck, what we're giving them is an opportunity to manage that a little bit better and quicker and easier. But they're doing it. But nobody's telling them that they're doing it. They're just thinking, oh my God, I'm not doing it. No, they are doing it. They're doing it every bloody day. So it's just giving them that safety net of reassurance that you are doing it. And from a paperwork point of view, you're doing it. But from a mindset point of view, you're light years away from like an accountancy firm that touches a client's books once a quarter or whatever. So yeah, they're way ahead of that. I love the gold standard. I've just been Googling in the background because shamefully I forgot her name, but I saw a keynote speech once by Kate Richardson Walsh. She's the captain of the ladies hockey team who won gold at Rio. And they came second in London Olympics, and then their mantra for the team going into the Rio Olympics is a gold medal standard. And all their behaviour and all their decisions, the final question they ask themselves is, would a gold medalist do this? Would a gold medalist behave like that? And I try to take that into all the teams that I lead as well. I think it's just a great mindset. And if you've never heard Kate speak, she's... I'm pretty sure I cry at everything, but I'm pretty sure I got emotional at it. But yeah, with a gold medal winning team do this, and it's a nice mindset to have.
I love that. Absolutely. Why are we trying to make things smaller? Let's aim for the, like, we know how to serve our clients best. And daily bookkeeping is going to cost more for somebody than weekly bookkeeping, than monthly bookkeeping, than annual bookkeeping. And that's why we charge what we charge. But we need to be better at explaining the value and the benefits and the outcomes for the, and these, everything you talked about explains that so well. So if you're a bookkeeper listening today,
yep,
and you've said about like what you want the dream to be for FirmCheck, but what does it look like now? An onboarding, like what, if someone's signing up, what's the, kind of the fee structure? How is it based? Is it based on clients? Is it based on practice? And what is there currently there to support a bookkeeper or an accountant running their practice at the moment with FirmCheck?
Well, everyone hold yourself back, but it's me. You get all of me.
Oh, wow.
How could you resist? Genuinely as well. Like I say, we launched in the UK in September. Myself is based in the UK. I've got my colleague Sophie. Sophie's absolutely amazing. Anyone that was at the summit, Sophie done a 5-minute stand-up routine all about AML. I don't know why, but it was my highlight. It was superb. She actually posted it on LinkedIn the other day, but it was really good. So me and Sophie are in the UK. We are growing the team in the UK. Our product guys are all based in New Zealand, and our engineers there. So like, there is a company behind there. If you are interested on our website, you can sign up directly, but sign up for a demo and it will all be through me. You'll go straight into my calendar. Take you through the software, show you all the features. So like you say, the ID part. The thing is, most people have got all this in place as well. So we will help get all your historic documentation, your historic customer information on the FirmCheck for free. So there's no charge to migrate onto us. And I'll take you through the software. How our fee structure works is it's 50p per entity per month. So if you're doing the books for a limited company and it's got five directors underneath it, it's 50p. It's not 50p per director, it's 50p. The only additional charge we do have is if you need ID collected and verified, but we don't sell that in like credits, or we don't you know, sell like 100 credits when you don't need it. And again, at the minute, our products, like, what do you need to be compliant? Let's not overthink this. Let's keep it simple. So for most of you, you already have clients, you already have verified ID. We're not going to ask you to buy ID checks when you've already done it. And I think going back to guidance, you know, if I'm going to fake my ID with you guys, I'll fake it the first time I meet you. I'm not going to fake it 3 years later. And most of the bodies, and certainly the law, doesn't need you to get new ID every year. So it's just that. So yeah, I can see the link there. That goes straight into my diary. You'll be talking to me. I'll set everything up for you. I set your account up. And yeah, the fee structure is 50p per client per month. So we have some bookkeepers that do it part-time and they only have three on it, and they pay me the lovely sum of £1.50 a month. We have some firms that have got like a couple of thousand clients, and we charge them 50p a month as well per client. It's a SaaS contract, so you know, it's your usual monthly thing. We don't tie you in anything like that. And then in terms of support, again, we'll get historic information in. There's no need for you doing data entry. I've got support team, we've got online training guides. Our education platform is completely free. You don't actually need to be a customer to use that as well. So if you do nothing, sign up to our education platform and take advantage of our AML content, where the summit is held and yada yada. So yeah, really good. Our aim, if you think back to Hamish, the founder of Xero, he brought Xero to the UK market to be easy to use and affordable for small practices, and that's very much our mantra here. We're not really aiming for 10, 20, 30, 40 employee practices. We really want to give the really small practices that struggle to manage this something that's really affordable.
Wow, this is amazing. I can see how this is going to help people so much. And I just knowing you can have a chat with Kev, I think this is just going to put everyone's minds at rest. They'll know what to do. I love that you help build the system around all of the different bits of documentation you need. I think this is often it, you know, we've been having lots of sessions about AML this week, and I think there's so much information. It's like, I need this in like a list or something. And it feels like that is there. So
just making sure every client prospect gets the same treatment and nothing's missed. And again, going back to my point, everyone's doing AML, like they're monitoring the transactions, they're doing daily bookkeeping or even weekly. They know their customers, they're understanding them. And 99% of the population have common sense, and that's what AML is. Like, if all of a sudden someone's doing something with a Russian warlord, then yeah, you might have a concern there. But, you know, yeah, someone's at your door, Zoe.
I know. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate it. And thanks everyone for being here. Book a call with Kev. We'll share the link under the video, and we'll see you later on for Bookkeepers Bootcamp. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club, or visit our website, sixfigurebookkeeper.com.